there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Welcome to Cavs HQ Playoff Edition, presented by Betway. Thank you for joining us on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse. Now, here are your hosts, Tim Alcorn and Jim Jones.
From the Cavaliers production studios at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in downtown Cleveland. Hi again, everybody. And indeed, welcome to the playoff edition of Cavs HQ presented by Betway. Great to have you with us and great to have joining me on Cavs HQ, Cavalier legend, Wall of Honor inductee, and certainly a great broadcast partner, one of the premier, if not the premier, radio color commentators in the NBA, in Jim Jones. And Jim, yesterday the Cavs jump out to a 1-0 lead over Orlando in this best-of-seven series with Game 2 slated for tomorrow night at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. And, boy, we've got a lot of ground to cover on this week's HQ. We'll have Chris Fedor stopping by to pay us a visit and get his thoughts on what happened Saturday. And we'll hear the Orlando side of the story from their radio play-by-play guy, Jake Chapman.
Well, it should be interesting, Tim. I want to really hear what Jake has to say. He is a lot closer to that team. I don't think they were discouraged by the way they played. They know they can play better, especially from the free throw line. And I'm not sure if they can shoot any worse from the three-point line, but their free throws definitely hurt them.
Yeah, it was a tough loss for the Magic. But, as you said, they've got some things to build on as they get ready for Game 2 tomorrow night. And for the Cavaliers, an important Game 1 win at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse to jump into the series lead and maintain home court advantage. Well, Saturday was a nice win to start the series for the Cavs. When we come back, Jim and I will look back at that Game 1 win. So stay with us. Cavs HQ, presented by Betway, continues after this on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse. Garland left of the lane, into Lane Allen. Pow! Oh, he posterized Jonathan Isaac. Jared Allen with a thunderous dunk. Then Carroll throws it out front, ball deflected. Mitchell has it. Pow! The stupendous dunk leads to a deafening roar.
They call it defense, Tim.
Garland on the dribble, steps right. Three ball. Bang!
He's got it. He had Ben Carroll.
The dagger! DG delivers. And we welcome you back, Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Of course, some highlights from yesterday's Game 1 win by the Cavaliers as they took out the Orlando Magic 97-83 at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Game 2 Monday night as those two teams will battle again. Boy, Jim, a lot to kind of dissect there, but what's one or two things that really stood out for you?
Yeah, I thought the Cavaliers' team defense and their ability to minimize the starting guards and the two starting guards off the bench, I thought they were fantastic in keeping those guys out of the paint and also contesting their shots.
for Darius Garland. Solid performance. You heard that huge shot that kind of put the game away for the Cavaliers. He had 14 points to go along with 8 assists. And after the game, DG talked to Jim and I on the postgame show, and I asked him, boy, how anxious were the Cavs to get started, and how important was the start of the ball game?
We had to come out with intensity. We know that they're young and they're going to fight to 48. And just try to get a little jump start on them. Just try to play in front of the first buzzer just to get us going and get everybody into it, get the crowd into it, because they're our sixth man, and just try to maintain that for the whole 48.
They were all over you. You can tell that the officiating has changed since the All-Star game. They were holding and grabbing, but then they allowed you to do the same. I thought your defense in the second half was magnificent. Great job, Darius.
Yeah, our team defense was great. I think for the entire night, we had a couple slip-ups, but I thought we were great the entire night. We know what the physicality is going to be like. We know what the mentality is from last year, so we just wanted to reciprocate it. We wanted to be the first one to punch first. We wasn't going to be the one that just get hit first. And that's what we did. We started the physicality early, and that's what got us the big lead early in the first half a little bit.
Yep.
DG, how anxious were the guys to get to this moment? And not anxious in a bad way, as in nervous, but anxious just to get to postseason play. Let's get this thing started.
Yeah, I mean, we were super ready. We had like 5 days off just practicing, so everybody's been eager. Everybody's been super, super excited just to have a first home game and first playoff experience for some of us, but it was great. I mean, everybody's been waiting. Everybody's been anticipating this, so I'm glad we got the first one.
And obviously, all-around performances. Donovan with 30. The two big guys each had double-doubles. Evan Mobley blocking shots left and right. Yeah. Just talk about what a team effort this was today.
It was a great team effort, man. I mean, that's been us the entire year. We've always been about the team. We've always been about just finishing games strong and having each other's back. So I think that we did a really good job of that tonight, and just got to carry it on for hopefully three more games.
Well, good start to the series for Darius Garland. And, Jim, as he mentioned at the end, not only for DG a solid performance, but everybody that played for the Cavaliers on Saturday contributed to that victory in some way.
Yeah, they did, but no one contributed more than Darius Garland. Why? Because he could score against this team. But what he did is he got us into our offense, he organized us, and he only took shots that were meaningful. And he only made passes where he made a good read on the defense through his dribble penetration. Now, look it, you know, he could easily average 20-something against this team. But I think 14 and 8 assists and getting us into our offense, he outplayed the opposition's guards. And they were hounding him all game. But he kept his composure, and he got us into our offense. And that's one of the things I expect from him, to get us into our offense and also to be aggressive on the defensive end. If he can maintain that, if he can maintain those disciplines, the Cavs will win this series in less than 7.
Well, good stuff from Jim Jones. As Jim and I bring you Cavs HQ, presented by Betway, we've got further insights coming. As coming up next, we'll have Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com. He'll stop by and pay Jim and I a visit. And then later on in the show, well, what's the Orlando side of the story? We'll hear from Jake Chapman, the radio play-by-play voice of the Orlando Magic. We'll get Jake's thoughts as to what happened on Saturday afternoon. So don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more to come. It's Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Great to have it for you. All along, the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse. Garland still on the dribble. Bounce left in the lane to Mobley. Spins! Pow! Oh, my! Evan Mobley with a spin move like he was back at the high school dance. Rebound grabbed by Mobley to Garland ahead to LeVert. LeVert tries, put it up. Good! And another foul! Garland, foul line shot. Perfect!
This guard play. We talked about it before the game. Their guard play. Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland closing this game out.
And we welcome you back. It's Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. All along the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse, Tim Elkhorn, along with Jim Jones, as Jim and I called that game for you yesterday on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse. Cavs with a Game 1 win over the Orlando Magic, and now Game 2 tomorrow night at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. And Jim, not only you and I there to cover it for the state of Ohio and worldwide on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse, but a guy that has worldwide followers on Twitter and X and wherever else he puts his stuff up. Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com was there to cover Game 1 on Saturday as well, and now he joins us on Cavs HQ. Chris, great to see you.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Well, we're doing all right after yesterday's big win, so let's dig into it from your perspective. Mm-hmm. You watch it differently than Jim and I. What'd you see in Saturday's win that not only the Cavs can build on, but that you think Orlando will now adjust for Game 2 tomorrow night?
I think, guys, there were two things that stood out to me about Game 1. And the first one was that the Cavs looked like a team that had been there. They were comfortable on that stage. They were comfortable in that environment. They knew the level of physicality that playoff basketball required. They were more ready for what the playoffs are all about, more so than Orlando. And that was to be expected, because coming into the series, the Cavs had 359 total games of playoff experience across their roster, and the Magic had 91. And all but 13 of those are taken by Gary Harris and Joe Ingles. So four total guys on the Magic roster that have been in that environment, that had been on that stage. And you could tell early on they were turning the ball over, they weren't comfortable, they looked a little bit rattled. That was one thing that stood out to me, is that the Cavs handled everything that playoff basketball requires better than they did last year against the Knicks. The second thing, coming into the series, everybody knew it. Orlando was the worst offense of any team that made the postseason. They were the worst three-point shooting team in the entire NBA. And the way that they get offense, when they actually do, is through ISOs, putting their head down, trying to get to the free throw line, trying to get into the paint. But the Cavs' defense is built to protect the paint. So it's a clash of styles in that kind of way. And I just don't know. One game doesn't tell you everything, but I just don't know, given all the questions about Orlando's mucky offense to begin with, I don't know that they have enough paths to success at that end of the floor. They're going to have to win these physical, grimy, low-scoring games. But we saw it last year with the Cavs in the first round of the playoffs, guys. You can only defend so much in the postseason. At some point, you have to score. And I just don't know that the Magic can consistently do that against this defense.
You know, I was just sitting here looking, and I was thinking about their rotation. Some might say it's too early to shorten it, but I don't know. The Cavs, they've got them defensively. Are you surprised that he went with a 10-man rotation, the same rotation that he went with all season, talking about Mosley?
Not really that surprised, Jim, just because I feel like in Game 1, you try and lean on the things that were successful for you in the regular season. You have a plan going into a first-round matchup. You have a plan going into Game 1. And then based on what happens throughout that, then you adjust from quarter 1 to quarter 2, 2 to 3, first half to second half, Game 1 to Game 2. So I do think it's probably as this series goes on, and probably even going into Game 2, given the lack of impact from Markelle Fultz and Cole Anthony didn't provide what he usually does off the bench, the leash is going to get a little bit shorter as the series goes on.
Again, we're talking with Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com. Nice enough to stop by and join Jim Jones and yours truly, Tim Elkhorn, on Cavs HQ. So let's try to get into the minds a little bit of J.B. Bickerstaff and Jamal Mosley, and maybe more Coach Mosley since they came out on the short end on Saturday. What sort of tweaks and adjustments?
Man, I just wonder if the Magic have a consistent enough and a working enough five-man lineup at both ends of the floor. It just feels a lot like the Cavs of last year in the series against the Knicks, where every decision that J.B. Bickerstaff was trying to make was an either-or proposition. If I'm going to go to Jetty Osman, I'm getting a little bit more offense, a little bit more spacing, a little bit more three-point shooting, but the defensive problems compared to him and Isaac Okoro are pretty glaring. And I just feel like those same things Jamal Mosley is being faced with. if he wants to go to Cole Anthony because he wants a lift off the bench, and he was the leading bench scorer for the Magic this past year during the regular season, that's fine, but who's he going to guard? At times, because Orlando likes to switch, because Orlando likes to play a certain kind of defense, 6'2", 6'3", Cole Anthony was matched up against Evan Mobley,
right,
and it was barbecue chicken. So it just feels like with every decision that he could try and make, he's giving up something to gain something else. It'll be really, really interesting to see how he navigates that one. And the other thing when it comes to JB, I think the one thing that he's going to keep in his back pocket is the Tristan Thompson, Marcus Morris senior card. If things aren't going well with Sam Merrill as the ninth guy in the rotation, I could definitely see JB saying, all right, we need a little bit more toughness. We need more physicality. We need more size, rebounding. Let's go to either Tristan or Morris. And I just feel like in this game of playoff chess, JB has more pieces that can move different ways.
Yeah, one of the things, I didn't know that Suggs was that good. Suggs is pretty good. He's really good, basically on one end of the floor, which is his disruptive defense.
Yeah.
But he did make a few shots at the end. Can something like that carry over, especially for him and Franz Wagner, and even from Banchero? They seem to get into a rhythm in those last 6 minutes of this game.
I think both those guys, or all three of those guys, really, Jim and Tim, they're going to get more comfortable as the series goes on. They're going to understand the playoff whistle. They're going to understand playoff-level physicality. They're going to understand how to be a little bit more poised and keep their composure when an opponent goes on a run in the playoffs. So I think these guys are going to start to figure it out a little bit more. They're going to be more accustomed to everything that the playoffs is going to test them with. And Suggs, to me, look, I had a vote. End-of-season awards, Suggs was on my second-team all-defense.
Yeah, I can see that.
He is that level disruptive.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
He was picking Darius's pocket. He was making it really, really tough for the Cavs to get into their offensive sets consistently. And he's one of the best shooters that they have. He's one of two guys on their roster that made more than 100 threes in the regular season. They had just two guys on the roster that did that. He was one of them. But if he's going to struggle shooting from the outside the way that he did in game one, that's obviously going to make their offense look a little bit more discombobulated. It's going to make the paint more congested, and the Cavs just aren't going to honor that outside shot the same kind of way. If he starts making those outside shots, then all of a sudden I think it opens up the offense, and it frees up Paolo and Franz to have more driving lanes.
Really good stuff. Chris Fedor, as always, good stuff. Chris joining us on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. A quick timeout and more to come with Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com. So stay with us on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse.
Last week, in collaboration with the City of Cleveland and celebration of the community in basketball, the Cavaliers continued to further its mission to support the development and well-being of youth in Northeast Ohio by opening the 16th Cavaliers Court in the city. This grand opening event at Woodland Recreation Center included a press conference followed by a ribbon cutting of the newly renovated basketball court. Following the event, youth in the community were invited to participate in a basketball skills contest and a playoff rally with Cavs Academy coaches. Cavs in the Community is brought to you by Discount Drug Mart. We'll be back with the second half of Cavs HQ presented by Betway right after this on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse.
This is Cavs HQ Playoff Edition presented by Betway on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse. Now back to the second half with Tim Alcorn and Jim Jones.
Great to have you with us on Cavs HQ presented by Betway. And obviously, we're all in a pretty good mood as the Cavaliers have a 1-0 lead over the Orlando Magic after their Game 1 win on Saturday. Game 2, Monday night at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Jim and I will have it on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse right now. Jim and I together on Cavs HQ and our special guest, Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com. Jim, you want to get started with Chris here in our second segment?
Yeah, thank you, Tim. One of the observations I had, Chris, was that the starters don't win the games for them. They really count on their bench to be physical, to play defense, and even put in some combinations of bench players to win the games. Your thoughts on their starters versus their bench play?
Well, guys, I think you're right about that one. And Jim, you hit that one exactly. Orlando came into the series with an advantage in terms of their bench versus the Cavs bench based on effectiveness during the regular season. The Magic had a top 10 bench in the NBA. But you have to wonder, is Cole Anthony an 82-game player or is he a 16-game player?
Yeah.
Is Joe Ingles somebody at this stage of his career that can provide the spark offensively coming off the bench that Jamal Mosley would want from him? Is Markel Fultz ready for this level of playoff basketball, given his limitations as an offensive player, given his limitations as a shot maker, as somebody who can stretch it out to the perimeter? I just think when you get into a playoff environment and you have weaknesses as a player, because everybody does, unless you're LeBron James, basically, those are going to get preyed on by the opponent. And like, how do you make the counters to those sorts of things? And that's one of the things that I'm going to be fascinated to see from some of the Magic guys that didn't play up to the standard that they were used to in the regular season. How did they make the adjustments? How did they make the counters when everything is designed to take away what it is you do best?
Chris, you mentioned earlier in our first segment how Orlando really tried to muck the game up. It became a very grimy game on Saturday afternoon. But I was very impressed with how the Cavs responded to that. Just talk about your take as far as how the Cavs kind of said, okay, you want to make this a knockdown, drag-out kind of brawl? We can play that kind of basketball.
It's interesting because there's a reputation, guys, that the Cavs have. It's clear across the NBA. Teams around the NBA believe that they're soft. Teams around the NBA are going to test their mental. Teams around the NBA are going to test them from an emotional standpoint, from a physical standpoint. And the only way that you can prove that you're different is by showing that you are different. And I thought it was great for the Cavs to see Isaac Okoro bump Mo Wagner in the back and not take anything. I thought it was great for George Niang to try and set that physical tone and get into it with Markel Fultz and not take any of the mess from the opposing team. And I thought also that the most important thing for the Cavs is that when Orlando went on that run early in the third quarter of game one and they cut the lead to 5, at various points last year against the Knicks, that was uh-oh. The Cavs probably would have folded last year. And this year, they regrouped, they came together, and they responded the way that you need to respond in the playoffs. And I think that shows a level of maturity. I think that shows a level of evolution for this team. And that was a really, really important moment because it could have gone the other way for the Cavs. And it has gone the other way in the past. They didn't allow that to happen this time.
You know, it was almost like, Chris, remember last year when teams would make a run or it was time for us to do something, it seemed like we would try to shoot our way out of it, you know, and taking bad shots, forced up shots. But this team, when the Magic had a couple of runs, they stepped up their defense, and they were able to get turnovers and get some easy looks in early in the clock. Talk about that.
That was the other thing, guys, that stood out to me. You know, in the second half of the regular season, understanding that there were so many circumstances tied to the way that the Cavs played in the second half of the regular season. But their defense was bottom 10 in the NBA. It just was not up to their standard. To see them, and yes, I know part of it has to do with the fact that Orlando is a flawed offensive team, especially in a playoff environment where they're not going to get the same whistle. They're not going to get to the free throw line at the same rate. But to see the Cavs get back to the defense that made them the team that they have been for a majority of the last 2.5, 3 years, that I think was really, really important for them to understand that we can lean on that end of the floor still. We can still get stops on demand. We can use that to potentially fuel our offense. I thought that was really, really important for the Cavs to see that they could crank it back up to that same kind of level and get back to the identity that has made them the team that they are.
Chris, you have great relationships and insights with the guys on the team, and I want to ask you about two in particular that had terrific games on Saturday in Game 1. Donovan, a game-high 30 points, and Jared Allen. And going back to last April, I think they were the two guys that really took that first-round playoff loss to heart. And they weren't just disappointed, they were angered by it. And you know those guys, and you've talked to them throughout the year. How much were they highly anticipating yesterday's game?
Yeah, I think in a big way. I think it helps Jared Allen that he doesn't have to deal with Mitchell Robinson, one of the premier offensive rebounders in the last 10 years. It's interesting because coming out of that series, guys, there was this reputation that the Cavs were not physical enough. And I kept saying to myself, you know, is it that they just aren't physical overall, or were they not physical enough against that team, against that group of players? Because how many teams would have been overwhelmed physically against those dudes? Probably a lot of them. That's who they were. That's why the Knicks are the Knicks, because they play with that level of physicality. The Magic don't. They are physical. They are grimy. They are defensive-minded. But they're not the Knicks. They don't have the same players, and they don't have the same level of physicality. Because as you guys know, there are levels to this. There are levels to greatness. There are levels to physicality. So I thought it was really important for Jarrett to be able to dominate on the boards the way that he did, to be able to anchor the paint. And for Donovan, look, he has not made any kind of excuses about this. He was not good enough against the Knicks last year. He did not meet the star standard. And he was not good enough 2 years ago against the Dallas Mavericks when Jalen Brunson got the best of him the first time. So for Donovan, he came into this postseason with a lot to prove. He is the eighth leading scorer in NBA playoff history. But a lot of that came early on in his career when he became Spida Mitchell, when he was having individual success and 50-point games and 40-point games. I think Donovan had to show that he still is Donovan, that he can be a high-level playoff performer, that he can be the explosive, athletic, change-of-direction type guy that was in the MVP conversation at the beginning of the season, as opposed to the wounded second-half player that was kind of dragging his knee at various points. So for him to have that dunk, just his second one since the All-Star break, big moment. For him to have that spinning dish to Jared Allen, also a big moment. And I think Donovan is on a mission to show that he can still be a guy that performs at his best in the biggest moments. Donovan has aspirations to win championships. Donovan wants to be the face of the NBA when LeBron and Steph and KD and those guys are gone. Donovan considers himself one of the best players in the entire league. You have to perform on this stage to live up to that. And this was a really, really good start for Donovan, given everything that happened in the series against the Knicks last year.
Yeah, he did it on Saturday. We'll see if he can do it again tomorrow night and throughout the playoffs for the Cavaliers. On that note, Chris Fedor, we know you're a busy guy. You've got to get ready for tomorrow night in Game 2. But, hey, we appreciate you stopping
by
Chris. Cavs HQ.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate
you got it, guys.
Great
stuff. The games just keep on coming. Yeah. That's the best thing about this time of year, right?
It is an unrelenting schedule, no doubt. Boy, great to have Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com joining us on this week's edition of Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Now, what's the Orlando side of the story? We'll hear from there. Radio play-by-play guy Jake Chapman. We'll have Jake join us right after this on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse.
Mitchell open for three. Two defenders went with Garland, and he ain't gonna miss that. A big three-point make for Donovan Mitchell. Timeout, Jamal Mosley and the Magic, and the lead is up to 14. 88-74. 4:44 to go. Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse is rocking.
Boy, it sure was, as the Cavaliers secured Game 1 win on Saturday afternoon to take a 1-0 lead in the best-of-seven opening round series against the Orlando Magic. Game 2 tomorrow night, right back in downtown Cleveland. 7 o'clock tip, which means a 6:30 Huntington pregame show all along the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse. Now, on the Orlando side of things, there's Jake Chapman, their radio play-by-play voice. I don't know if we've ever had a guest two straight weeks on Cavs HQ, but we had Jake on last week to preview the series, and now we thought we'd get the Orlando side of the story with Jake joining us once again to talk about Game 1 yesterday afternoon. And Jake, just a quick synopsis from your viewpoint as to what happened on Saturday.
Yeah, well, Tim, I was a little bit more optimistic when you had me on last week. I mean, come on now. Try to bottle that up here. I think, look, here's the thing. I got done with the broadcast yesterday. I got done with the game call, and we jumped on the post-game show. And I said, you know, the silver lining is the defense was solid, right? You held the Cavs under 100 points. There were a lot. I think the physicality wasn't anything that the Magic backed away from. So there were certainly things to like. I said, we played Magic basketball for better or worse because we haven't been a good free throw shooting team all season. I thought that was the swing in the game. Magic shoot a higher free throw attempt rate than any team in the league, but they're 26 in free throw percentage. And that, to me, was your ball game. That and the lack of shooting, period. Like, the Magic missed open looks, they missed covered up looks, and they missed the most open looks, which is 11 free throw attempts. 19 to 30 isn't going to cut it. The turnovers were an issue, right? Paolo had 9 of them. There were 12 turnovers total, but many, many points generated off of those turnovers. They were those live ball turnovers. I think the Cavs converted every single steal they came up with, finished the game with 9 steals and had, what, 18 points off those turnovers. So, you know, offensively, I think there's a whole bunch to work on. There were times where I felt like it was working, but I think we really struggled finding open looks, and credit the Cavs defense certainly for that. I had a feeling Donovan Mitchell was going to have that type of game. I think we could probably still win a game allowing 30 to Donnie, but the 16 and 18 double-double for Jared Allen was punishing. So the Magic, I think, you know, probably feel like, look, we didn't know what we didn't know. They're going to have a sense of what the atmosphere will be like, and hopefully they're able to adjust and put more than 83 points on the board, because that's just not going to cut it.
You know, I was looking at some of the numbers, and I know that your bench is a fundamental reason why you win. Are you surprised that they went 5 of 24, because you've got a lot of experience on that bench?
Yeah, and Jim, it was the guards, period, right? Like, Jalen was 4 of 16 in the starting lineup. Gary was 0 of 6. And Gary deserves a little bit of a reprieve because he was chasing Donovan around all game, doing a pretty good job. But between Cole Anthony, 0 for 7 off the bench, Markel, 0 for 4, you just didn't really get anything from the backcourt. Mo Wagner gave you 10 points in 13 minutes. But you're right. I mean, the Magic had the second-best offensive-rated bench in the league during the regular season behind only Indiana, and there wasn't much. And so, you know, part of it, I think, is you've made this switch now in the last week within the starting lineup. J.I. is now a part of the starting lineup, and Wendell Carter Jr., is coming off the bench, so I think there's a little bit of unfamiliarity there. But that, to me, was a big swing. We need some offensive pop coming from that second unit. Typically, it's Cole, it's Joe Ingles setting up two-man action with Mo Wagner, and just didn't see a ton of that at all. So, look, credit to the Cavs' defense. I thought George Niang was one of the most important parts of the game. Defensively, you know, he was really, really solid. He's a plus 13 while he was out there. Nothing easy came while he was on the floor. He just talks so well. I think he keeps them organized defensively when he's on the floor, and that makes up for some of the lack of, you know, lateral movement and things like that with Niang. But I thought between Niang, Okoro, and LeVert, the Cavs bench, you know, severely outplayed the Magic's bench. And as you mentioned, that's been a part of the formula all season, so I'm sure they'll go back to the drawing board there.
Again, we're talking with Jake Chapman, the radio play-by-play voice of the Orlando Magic. Nice enough to join us on Cavs HQ. And, of course, if you were with us last week, Jake, a Northeast Ohio guy from Chardon. His parents faithfully listened to him while they're over in Chardon. And, Jake, I want to ask you about the physicality aspect of the game. It became a real grind-it-out, down-and-dirty kind of basketball game on Saturday. Is that the way Orlando wins this series, if they do win the series?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know. I thought the Magic answered the bell, right? Like, you go down, what, 11 before the first time out. You saw Joe Ingles tag the – I forget exactly who it was. Who was it? Was it Garland? Joe Ingles threw a shoulder on a tag early on in the first half, and then there was the flagrant with Markel. So I think the Magic kind of had in the back of their heads, like, we're not going to be intimidated. And so I think they acquitted themselves somewhat well on that front. The rebounding was an issue. Now, the second chance points didn't necessarily hurt you, but that's a big part of our offense. Like, we need to generate offense with second chance opportunities. Lord knows there's plenty of them if you're shooting the ball the way that we did. 32.6% from the field. So I think second chance points, like, it probably needs to be even more so than we saw. I think physically, I think the Magic can go toe-to-toe with the Cavs, but that looked like a team in the Cavs who had their wake-up call a year ago. And hopefully, for Magic fans' sake, this isn't the wake-up call here. I think we have the personnel and the disposition to be as physical as we need to be to win the series. But you got to figure out a way, and Jim can speak to this, to kind of channel it right in the right way.
Yes.
Picking up cheap flagrant fouls is probably not the best way to do it. So I think you come back not feeling like you got smacked around, but knowing that you're going to have to be a little bit smarter with your physicality.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because many times these games come down to 1, 2, and 3 points. Could you see this series staying in the 90s? Could you see that?
I could. I mean, I think it's probably going to that's probably the way that we want to play it, right? Like, I think once we get into the Cavs scored almost 119 points per 100 possessions against the Magic in 4 regular season meetings. And that's not what the Magic did, right? The rest of the league was up around 111. So I think if it gets into shot-making contests and 120, 110 type finals, that plays into the Cavs' hands. You know, this the third game all season that the Magic lost, holding the team under 100 points, and the Magic did it 23 times this year, right? So it's happened a lot of times. The Magic defense, or excuse me, it wasn't that many. It was 13 times. But the Magic defense is certainly capable of winning games, and I think playing games kind of like this, a 105-100 type final score. But you're going to have to find some offense from somewhere, because the problem with the Cavs is I think they're comfortable either way, and you saw that on Saturday afternoon.
All right, Jake, as they say in radio, we got about a minute left, so just ask you real quick, what do you expect tomorrow night?
I expect a better offensive performance from the Magic. I expect the Cavs to make some requisite adjustments. I think it'll be a little bit tighter than this, but I expect something similar. I don't expect 120 to 115. I expect something around the 100 point range, and hopefully, and I don't know how you get much better at free throws in 48 hours. Hopefully you get in the gym. I do expect the Magic to protect the basketball a bit better. Again, the 12 turnovers, not something that you can't live with, but those live ball turnovers, I think the Magic will be a little bit better in that regard. But we'll see. It's going to be constant adjustments, and it feels like Cavs have the leg up right now, just as far as identity goes and knowing how they want to play. So I wouldn't be shocked if we're headed back here down 0-2, but I think the Magic at the very least know what to expect now in that building.
There you go. That's exactly right.
Thank you very much.
Jake, we appreciate it. Look forward to, again, talking to you. Who knows? Maybe a third straight week. We shall see, but appreciate you taking the time on this
Sunday.
Thank you
very much, Jake. Great stuff.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate it.
Jake Chapman, the radio play-by-play voice of the Orlando Magic, joining us on Cavs HQ. A quick timeout. Jim and I will put the finishing touches on this week's show after this on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Boy, fun show. It's always fun to have Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com stopping by to pay us a visit. And you just heard from Jake Chapman, the radio play-by-play voice of the Orlando Magic. And Jim, I thought both Chris Fedor, more from the Cavs perspective, but Jake from the Orlando perspective, had some great insights as to what happened yesterday at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse and what we might see tomorrow night.
Well, our fans deserve to have another opinion other than us. I've been called a homer for 30 years, so I sort of relish that title. But there's a couple things that they talked about. It was our bench with Niang, Okoro, and LeVert. You know, they played outstanding. They only scored 14 points, but they did some things out there that were contagious to winning, especially on the defensive side. The other thing is how well the Cavaliers' defense played Orlando's starting guards and then the two off the bench. I thought they were magnificent in challenging those guys to score.
Yeah, really good stuff. So, game two tomorrow night at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. It will tip off at 7, which means the Huntington Tip-Off Show comes your way at 6:30 on the Medical Mutual Cavaliers Audioverse. Thanks to the dynamic duo, Kurt McLaughlin, along with Marty Allen. Jim, thanks to you. Thanks to our guest, Chris Fedor, and Jake Chapman. Biggest thanks goes to you, the listeners. Talk to you again tomorrow night from the Joe Tate Perch. It'll be Cavs and Magic in Game 2. So until then, thank you so much for listening, and so long, everybody.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Leesa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.